Much, if you could make your way back to your seats. When you find your seat, would you please stand? Would you stand with me if you could, right across the hall? My name's Tony. If you're a new person here today, we want to welcome you, and as Brad already has, and just enjoy yourself today. We're going to take a few moments right now to pray a special prayer for a young toddler called Miller. Miller is a relative of Pauline's, and she is really in need of God to do a miracle in her little body. She swallowed a battery, and it's not looking good at all. Her parents have been advised to expect the worst, and so she's undergoing surgery again on Monday. And we're going to pray for God to intervene is what we're going to pray. So let's just release our faith together. Maybe you've got your own needs today. Why don't you believe God for God to come and touch you, your loved ones right now in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. You're a hearing God. You hear our prayer. And we bring our prayer to you today, our petition, Father, for people's needs, for sicknesses, for diseases. We believe that you hear our prayer, you answer our prayer, and you are the great healer. We can't make it happen, but you can. And so we cry out to you today for healing, God, in people's worlds, lives and circumstances, situations. We pray particularly for this little toddler, Miller. We're just praying, Father, in Jesus' name, be with her right now in a body with all the action and reaction that's taking place in a body, in a stomach because of swallowing this battery. We pray, intervene right now. Take control right now, Father. Lord, as she undergoes surgery, we just pray for things to be made right, God, still the action that's taking place in a body. I pray in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we ask for a good outcome. We pray, be with the family, be with the parents, Lord, as they navigate this very difficult, dark moment. We pray and rescue their daughter is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for praying. Would you keep praying for her? Just keep asking God to bring healing and wholeness into the little life in Jesus' name. Well, we're in holiday season. You having a good time? Enjoying it? It's kind of not holidays if you're working, but in terms of church world, our activities are minimized during the holiday period, just to give everyone a little bit of a break, a little bit of a breather, a bit of a rest, and I think that's a good deal. Most of our activities kick in by the end of the month, so you'll see them on church news. Our youth group, Young Royals, kicks in towards the end of the month, and our children's church, kids, Impact Kids, will be kicking in towards the end of the month also. We've got a special day on Australia Day, Sunday Australia Day. We're going to have an Australiana theme here, so wear your boardies, wear your sunscreen on your nose. Come however you like on that day. Wear flippers if you want. You can wear goggles, I don't care. You can wear one of those hats with a fan on it. Just come however you want on that day. We're going to have some fun. We're going to talk about all things Australiana on that day and celebrate our nation and all the peoples that have made this their nation also. And we're going to have a free hospitality day on Australia Day. We're also going to have a jumping castle for the kids. Haven't decided whether that'll be in church or outside of church. Just weather dependent. It could be anywhere. We are going to have a good time on Australia Day. Bring your friends, bring your family, and come and celebrate God together on that day. We've also got a week of prayer and fasting coming up. That'll make you smile. Starting next Sunday. So this week is a week to eat all the food you can, because next Sunday till the following Saturday, so from Sunday the 19th through to Saturday the 25th, we're asking you to join us in prayer, an intense period of prayer and fasting during that time. Now, the fasting can look different for different people. Maybe you've got a condition or a sickness or an illness where you need to eat. I have that. It's called hunger. And if you have that, then feel free to do the fast in a way that works for you medically and for your body. But for most of us, you can go hardcore. You can go without food. You will survive. Believe me, you will survive. Go without food. For some, might like to do a Daniel fast, where you do a bit of a soupy thing at night or whatever. Don't go doing the pretend fast like I'm fasting off social media, like whoopee, or I'm not going to watch TV for a week. Wow, wow, wow. Go hard. Don't need to say go hard. Go hard. Go hard. And fast. And also take some moments to pray throughout that each day during that week, where you specify some time. We're praying for our year. We're praying for our church. We're praying for things to move forward for 2020. And so we'd appreciate your support in terms of what we do in that next Sunday through to the following Saturday, Saturday the 25th. Then we're here on Sunday the 26th for our Australia Day celebration weekend. Is there anything else I've got to tell you? Yes, little Lachlan was born to Candace and Richard this week. They won't be in church for a little while. They're at home looking after their new bubby, the second member of their lovely family. And so they'll be with us as soon as they possibly can. But just wanted to give you the good news that he was born all well and healthy. Dad survived, which is amazing. And Mum did pretty well too. And he was born on a Tuesday. So good deal all round. Would you turn to your Bibles and go to the book of Ecclesiastes? It'll take you a while to get there because it's one of those books that's hard to find. It's in the poetical part of the Old Testament, the cleaner pages that you don't often read. The book of Ecclesiastes, I do have it on the big screen, if you don't have it. Here it is. Magically it's appeared. Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 15. The title of our conversations at the moment is a very simple one for our holiday, summer holiday period. It's called Make It Fun. Would you say that to your neighbour? Make it fun. Would you say it to the person on your other side? Make it fun. Make it fun is our theme over the next few weeks. At the start of a year, you want to keep it a little bit light. Light does not mean it's not good. Light is actually good for all of us. Ecclesiastes 8:15 is a verse in the Bible that's written by Solomon, who was said to be the wisest man, king of Israel, in all of the land. The wisest man. And this book is a bit of a bizarre book if you read it, because it's written through the various seasons of his life, where at times he was close to God, at times he was far away from God. So there's all kinds of musings in the book of Ecclesiastes. In Ecclesiastes 8:15, he says this, after looking at the hardness of life. He says, I recommend having fun. Can you believe that's in the Bible? I recommend having fun. A lot of people wouldn't imagine that's in the Bible because they don't associate fun with Bible or fun with God or fun with church at all. And so Solomon says, so I recommend having fun, because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink and enjoy life. Solomon says nothing better. Nothing better than to eat, drink and enjoy life. That way you will experience some happiness. How many people in the room could do with a little bit more happiness in 2020? Would you lift your hand as a declaration? I'm going to have a little bit more happy in 2020. He says, I'll experience a little bit more happiness along the way with all the hard work that God gives them under the sun. The good news is you can experience happiness. The bad news is you're still going to have to work hard. Life is hard, God is good. We looked at that principle, that truth last week. Life is hard, but God is good. You can't avoid the hard work, but you can determine how you carry the load. Because how you carry the load determines a lot about the level of enjoyment that you have in life in terms of the work you do, the career you have, the business you're involved in terms of the way you journey, the way you do your faith journey, the way you do your church journey, the way you do your relational journey, all of that comes down to the fact that we just need to have a little bit more fun, because the toil's always there, the grind is always there, the challenge is always there, the different seasons will always be there, but there's something that I can control, and what I can control, I can't control the seasons, I can't control the challenges, I can't control the difficulties, but I can control the fun. I can own the fun, and I can make it a little bit more fun along the way as I do the hard work that God has given me. I want you to notice the Bible doesn't say that fun is the only thing we do. It doesn't say that we should have fun and not do anything else. It says fun, but do the hard work. Have fun, but do the hard work. Do you know, enjoying life is God's plan. Jesus promised us abundant life. And abundant life has a whole heap of components to it. You might be rich in one area of life, but if you're not rich in a rounded sense in your life, then you're really not rich. It's really not abundant. If you don't have that peace with God, that sense of having your sins forgiven and washed away and being made in right relationship and right standing with God, if you don't have that as a component of your life, you're going to be miserable. It's a big component of life. But then there's other components of life also that we need to build in to make sure that we're having a little bit of joy as we do this hard work. I think fun is one of the essential ingredients of living your best life. I think the best life is lived when it's a little bit of fun. And so I'm encouraging us right at the start of 2020 to lean in intentionally to fun, and not only to experience fun, but to bring the fun. Turn to your neighbor and say, bring it. Bring it. We don't only experience it, but we bring it. Everyone wants to experience it, and everyone wants everyone else to bring the fun, but there's a personal responsibility to own the fun and for all of us to bring the fun. Not just feel the fun, but fund the fun. That's difficult to say. Not just feel the fun, but fund the fun. In other words, invest in fun yourself. Be an initiator of fun. Be a catalyst of fun. Bring the fun and be the fun. When you come to church, just don't expect the band to do it all for you so you feel good. Bring the feel-good praise yourself. Bring the worship yourself. Be the praise. Be the worship. Be the voice. Be the initiator. Don't wait for the worship leader. Be the worship leader. Don't wait for the drummer. Be the drummer. Don't wait for the guitarist, the bass player. Don't wait for them. Bring it and be it. You know, so many places, people wait for it all the time. All the time. We're not called to be waited on. Jesus didn't say, I came to be waited on. He said, I didn't come to be served, I come to serve. You know how we serve? We serve by bringing it. We serve by bringing it. And so we bring our own joy, we bring our own praise. I'm not responsible for your joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm not responsible. I'm irresponsible. I'm not responsible for your joy. You own your own joy. You own your own joy. You own your own smile. You own your own shout. You own your own praise. And so when you come to church, bring your own shout. Bring your own voice. Bring your own song. Bring your own worship. When you come, bring your own encouragement to share. A lot of people come to church and think, I'm just waiting for someone to encourage me. Go and encourage somebody yourself, and that will encourage you. That will encourage you as you give. The Bible says it will be given unto you. If you're not a channel, you're a dam. If you're not a channel, you're a dam. If it's not flowing through you, it's not going to come to you. So don't always be looking for it to happen to you. Make it happen through you. I love the psalmist. He's that guy in the Bible. The psalmist David, he's the guy you want at every party. He's the guy that walks into the room and lights up the room. He comes with his guitar. He comes with his harp. There's not going to be any sadness. There's going to be singing. There's going to be praise. There's going to be worship. So he says when he comes to the house of God, he says, shout with joy to the Lord, all you earth, everybody. Nobody's excluded. For everybody, shout with joy to the Lord. He says, serve the Lord. Notice this, with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. I love the way the Message Bible does that same verse. It says, on your feet now and implore God, bring a gift of laughter, sing yourself into his presence. A lot of people wouldn't associate that concept with God and with church, about being a place where you can laugh. When was the last time you laughed in church? Yeah. We should laugh more often. It's good for us to laugh. Sing ourselves, it says, into the very presence of God. The next verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise and give thanks to him and praise his name. Come in with a whistle, come in with a song, come in with a smile, come in with a joke. Every week I come to church, Pop shares a joke with me. Pop is my father-in-law. He's 82 years of age. For about, how long have I known you, Pop? A long time. Trying to work it out now off the top of my head. But gee, it must be a lot of years now since I was 12 years of age. So I'm now 57. So that's 45 years. For 45 years, every day I've seen Pop, he's told me a joke. Every day for 45 years. Rings me up to tell me jokes. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is. Doesn't matter what the situation is. He can be in hospital almost dying. You go over like this. Have you heard the one about? And you've always got a joke. And it's a good deal, because we need a little bit more lightness and levity and fun and brightness in our world. We really do. Thank you for that one person that loved that. What a great way it is to come to church like the psalmist here talks about. In other words, not coming overwhelmed. And look, I know we all got our stuff. We've all got our junk. We've all got our problems. We've all got our issues. A problem-free life, it doesn't exist. Akuta Matama, forget it. It ain't happening. You're always going to have the hard work to do and the challenges, the bills to pay, the stuff that's not working, the body that's breaking down. It hurts, I know. But don't have a posture of being overwhelmed and overburdened and heavy-hearted. Come ready for church. Bring your shout. Bring your joy. Bring your worship. Bring your praise. Bring your gladness. Enter his courts with thanksgiving is what David says. Come with a thankful heart. Here's the thought. I think we've got to send that message to our faces. Let me stay on this for a moment because this is worthy of attention. We've got to send that message to our faces. I'm sure sometimes our faces don't reflect what's really in our heart. Because I know we've got good hearts, but sometimes our faces forget that. I know there's happiness and joy in my heart, but sometimes my face does not reflect the joy that is really in my heart. And, you know, sorry to say, and I say it very apprehensively in case you stone me, but sometimes if you saw what I saw in terms of faces in church, you may not come back to church if you saw what I saw, because I know it's only because you're leaning in so intently, and but look, why so serious? Just smile, let your face know that your heart's happy. I think, and this is certainly true for me, I'm sometimes totally unaware of what my face is saying. I have a serious face. I have a serious face, and it's not really a reflection oftentimes of what's in my heart. Like oftentimes Cheryl will say to me, are you okay? Yeah, I'm okay. Why? Well, look at your face. It's like, well, this is my happy face. This is as good as it gets, you know. Unfortunately, I was born with it. But it's people read us, and you know that. You read your partner, you read your friends, and you think, oh, wow, they're in a mood. And yet they may not be in a mood. Yeah. It may just be their face hasn't caught up with their heart. I know you've got good going on in your heart, but let your face know. Let your face know you're happy. Let your face know. Like we used to sing a song in Sunday school when Noah built the ark, which is when I went to Sunday school, when you could sing songs you remembered. And we used to sing a song, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, then you really ought to show it. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. And so if you're happy and you know it, then you should show it. That's the thought. And they were teaching me that when I was in Sunday school. But I forgot that message as I became older. And I became serious. And I became a leader. And I became a pastor, and everything got really intense in my world, and serious, and it is intense, and it is serious, and it is heavy. That's why I need a little bit of frivolity. That's a hard word to say. A little bit of levity, a little bit of lightness, a little bit of fun to help me in all the hard work that I do. And I think every one of us is the same. Anyone else in the same boat? We are all in the same boat. So we've got to let our faces know that we're actually happy. So here's my big thought. We are all responsible for our own face. We are all responsible for our own face. So get your praise face on. Get your joy face on. Get your worship face on. Get your thanksgiving face on. Get your party face on. Get your I'm coming to church face on. Get your I'm going to work tomorrow face on. I'm loving it. Get your face on that I'm happy to be in this space, in this environment. In other words, get your joy up. Get your joy up, face on. I'm beckoning our church. I'm pleading. I'm urging all of our church to get that kind of behavior as we come into 2020 to joy up. It's a message for our teams. Get your joy on. It's a message for our leaders. Get your joy on. It's a message for our pastors and those that are pastoring at the moment on holidays and are away in Melbourne. Everyone look at the camera up here because Maz and Daz are watching right now from Melbourne. Everyone give them a wave. Get your joy on. Get your joy on. We all need to get our... It's a message for our pastors. It's a message for me. I'm preaching to me today, but it's a message for you. Turn to your neighbour and say, it's a message for you. It's a message for you. So today, I want to talk about giving yourself permission to have fun. Giving yourself permission to have fun and enjoy the journey of life. To have fun and make fun all around you. to free you up in the fund. I told you last week how I decided for 2020 I was going to buy something to help me have fun, because sometimes the older you get, you need toys. You just need toys. You need, like, whether it's a golf set, a golf cart, whether it's a boat, whether it's a jet ski, whatever it might be. And for me, it's a Mini Cooper S, and I bought an old one last week and didn't pay much money for it, just a nice little Mini, because I've always wanted a little car, because I drive a big car. I drive a Nissan Patrol, which it's a truck to drive, and I'm quite often the only one in it, and I drive it from Tambourine to here daily, and it chews a lot of fuel. So I thought, if I buy a Mini, it'll pay for itself in a couple of years. It'll just pay for itself in terms of fuel. And so, you know, I paid a little bit of money for this thing, made sure I got one that hadn't been in an accident or anything like that. And that's important when you buy a car. You know, check out it's not something that's been dinged up. And yeah, I did all my homework, and it all came out all good, all clear. And so Sunday morning, as I told you last week, for those that were here, got in the car, 6:30 in the morning, first drive. First drive since I bought it and drove it back from the coast. And got in the car and had driven just 200 metres and hit a kangaroo, just bang, and dinged up the front bumper bar and broke some bracketing underneath and whatever, I don't know, but yeah, anyway, Pastor Darrell came round that afternoon, stitched it up, sort of sewed it up a little bit for me, and so it's very drivable, so it's parked outside today, came in today. I'm a lot happier today than I was last week, let me tell you. Come on, it's like, why do I preach these sermons? Every time I announce a title, I get the opposite. I start to preach about make it fun, and like God says, here, have a dose of that, hit a kangaroo, see how much fun that is in your new car, and the good news is it's getting better and it's getting repaired. Sometimes you've just got to get something that's going to help you have a little bit of fun and come alive again for a new year. And I want you to know there's a lot of fun in you. There's more fun in you than you realize. There's a strength in you that needs to come out. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so the fun releases the strength. There's a wisdom in you. There's a fight in you. There's a faith in you. There's a song in you. There's a joy in you. There's a freedom in you that God wants to see unleashed. So give yourself permission to unleash it this year. Here's my thoughts. Give yourself permission to have fun, because God wants you to have fun. God wants you to have fun. Here, Paul writes to the church in Thessalonica, and he writes these words after teaching them about how God wants them to live. And he says this, one final very important piece of information, friends. We ask you, or he says, urge you is more like it. It's above an ask. I'm up in the ante. He says that you keep on doing what we've told you to do to please God, not in a dogged religious plod, but in a living, spirited dance. Don't worry, I'm not going to dance for you today. You know the guidelines we laid out for you from the Master Jesus. God wants you to live a pure life. So Paul's talking about this God life, this faith life, this salvation life that they've been given, how to live it, how to live it in a pure way, not in a religious way, but a pure way. And he says, don't live it sort of with a protest spirit. Do you know what I mean by a protest spirit? Something you know you got to do, but you don't want to do it. Like, remember when you're a teenager and mum and dad used to ask you to do something and you just didn't want to do it. You did it, but you made sure everyone knew you didn't want to do it. You protested, you argued, you attituded. Anyone else do that? Come on, anyone else do that? I'm sure you did. If you didn't, maybe you had a teenager that did it. And you've asked them to do something, go clean up your room. Well, you could hear the shoes hitting the wall from the lounge room. Just the behavior, the attitude, the stuff they give you back. And that's what Paul's saying. Don't do your life journey like that. There's no pleasure for you. There's no pleasure. Nobody enjoys it when that happens. So don't do it like that. He says, don't do it with a dogged religious plod, but do it with a living, spirited dance. You know, sometimes I think people do church and their faith journey with a dogged religious plod. With a dogged religious plot, where sometimes people only come out of obligation. They come to please somebody, not one. And we're not called to please somebody, we're called to please one. Just one. Not somebody, not anybody, not everybody. Just one. That's God.
And so to please God, the dogged religious plod is not going to cut it. You're going to need to dig deep into your repertoire and pull out a living spirit of dance in the way you do the journey with God. I love how David approached coming to the house of God. He said, I was glad. I was really glad when they said unto me, it's Sunday, let's go. Let us go to the house of the Lord. Let us go to the house of the Lord. He picks up on this theme that he's expressed in other psalms of thanksgiving and of gladness. Have you ever seen someone do the right thing in the wrong way? I'm sure you have. And, you know, I've gone to plenty of restaurants where I've got service off somebody that I wish didn't serve me. Or I've been served at a counter by somebody that should never have been in the service industry. Because they're doing a job, but they don't love the job they do. And they don't really respect the clientele that they're looking after. They're just there to earn their money. They're not there to help with the culture and build the culture of the place. And it's a very difficult thing. It's just like that teenager attitude. Someone serving with a stinking attitude. Someone doing something that they don't want to do. So they come late, they drag their feet, they roll their eyes. They're just full of bad attitude all around their world. Serving with a wrong spirit, serving with a wrong heart, serving with a bad attitude, serving out of obligation, serving with a sense of protest, serving to please someone but failing to please the one that they should really be pleasing. You know, I want to say this to everybody that serves in our house here. I want to say, don't ever serve like that, please. Please don't serve with a dogged religious plod. If you are, please stop it. Just stop it. Because it doesn't help anybody. In actual fact, it affects everything. And it affects everybody else. And it affects the culture. And it affects the ambience of the place. I don't want anyone serving with a stinking attitude. I don't want anyone serving with a bad attitude or a wrong spirit. Because the posture, the disposition, and the heart of that just drains. It just drains everybody around them when that heart is present. That's why David says, serve the Lord with gladness, come before him singing with joy. This is biblical pattern. This is the pattern of how God instructs us that we come and we serve him. And this is what the Apostle Paul is calling out in the church of Thessalonica with that scripture that I read before from Thessalonians. He calls it out. And here's the issue for all of us. When people are around our world and they serve in the context of what I'm talking about in church world with a wrong heart, it needs to be called out. With the wrong culture, it needs to be called out because it reflects us and it affects everybody and everything. Just like the teenager who gives a lot of attitude to their parent about being given a certain responsibility or task. If you tolerate that behavior in your teenager, what you're doing is you're teaching them how to treat you and you're telling them you set the level of what's acceptable around here. But we all know it's the big people in the house that get to set the level of the house and the culture of the house. That's why we're called adults. Turn to your neighbor and say adult. Adult. Big difference between adult and child. Turn to your neighbor now and say child. Doesn't even feel good to be called a child, does it? When you're a big person and someone calls you a child, like child, it's like derogatory when you're called child. But when you're called adult, it's kind of like that's a sense of responsibility. That's a sense of I'm mature. That's a sense of I'm grown up. And yet sometimes grown up behave in childish ways. So if you tolerate it, you're teaching them how it is that you can treat them or they can treat you. So if you don't like how your teenager's treating you, call them out on it. And it's the same in church life in terms of serving in teams and with different responsibilities that people have. If the attitude's wrong, you've got to call them out. You've got to call them out on that attitude so that that attitude does not become the norm. It's easy to live a dogged religious life in the way we do church and in the way we do our serving, to fall in the trap of worshipping God and serving God in a sterile, predictable, comfortable manner, to become so anesthetized and sanitized that we absolutely become paralyzed. In other words, we can't move forward with what God wants us to be and do because we have an anesthetized and sanitized sense of how we do church world and how we do our faith journey. And here David teaches us, do it with a little bit of joy, a little bit of praise, and a little bit of worship. So my big question to you today is, whose tune are you dancing to? Because we're all dancing to the tune of somebody. Whose tune are you dancing to? Are you dancing the dogged religious plod? Because if you are, it's a lonely dance. It's a lonely dance. You have an invitation to dance the living spirited dance, the living spirited dance of life. Are you dancing to the tune of circumstance? Are you dancing to the tune of situation? Are you dancing to the tune of what others have said about you? Are you dancing to the tune of history? Are you dancing to the tune of your emotions? Are you dancing to the tune of failure? Are you dancing to the drum of defeat? What is the tune that you are dancing to? And I want to suggest that for 2020, we need a better tune. We need a better tune because some of us are out of tune. If you ever played in a band, there's nothing worse than someone that's out of tune. If you're standing next to someone singing and they're singing out of tune. Like some people have the ability to sing next to someone that's out of tune and still sing good. I can't. I'm a follower when I sing. So if you sing bad, I sing just like you. I'm kind of like karaoke. So I always make sure I sit next to people that are singing good because then my voice follows them. Some of us don't have the ability to lead next to somebody that's not solid. And so in life, it kind of works the same. Some of us are so easily led because we're not solid. We're not solid ourselves. And so we're so easily led into that dogged religious life, the patterns of other people. And so the circle, the network of people around our world is really, really important. We need to come to church, serve God, and do the life journey with a living, spirited dance. Secondly, give yourself permission to have fun because Jesus had fun. A lot of people don't realize this. Jesus had fun. Most people would not equate the fact of Jesus being a fun guy or a fun person or a fun man or a fun savior at all. They would not acknowledge or understand or perceive that to be the truth. In actual fact, most people are more acquainted with Jesus being the man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And that's a scripture. That's true. He is very much that. He is all of that, but much more. And that's because of the nature of what he was called to do. He was called to go to the cross and die on the cross of Calvary. We see the suffering. We see the pain. We see the heartache as he's in the Garden of Gethsemane preparing to go and pay the price for the sins of the world. And he very much was the man of sorrows, acquainted with the grief of many. But that was not the whole picture. That was a snapshot. It's so important not to take snapshots of anybody or anything and make it that's how they are. Because there's different aspects to our world and our lives. Like you only see me here doing this. You see serious Tony. You don't see... Yeah, you don't see party Tony. You don't see fun Tony. And actually, I wonder where he is. Yeah, you don't see him. You see Pastor Tony. Pastor Tony. I remember once when we were in Ballarat and we were new in ministry, and Ballarat's very much a suit city. It's just the kind of city it is because it's very cold. And I used to wear a suit every service that we preached, morning, night, suit, tie. It was that kind of church. It was really, and great church, but it's just the dress standard. And then one day, Cheryl and I are down in the mall shopping on a Monday on our day off, and I was in civvies. I was just normal clothes like I am today. And walking down the street, a pair of shorts. No, didn't have shorts on because I never wore shorts in Ballarat. It's too cold. A pair of jeans on and a shirt on, and a lady came and bumped into us, and she goes, "Pastor Tony." Couldn't believe it. Said to Cheryl, said, "I can't believe Pastor Tony's dressed normal. Normal." It's bizarre what people think sometimes about leaders and about pastors and whatever. But it's like, yeah, touch it. It's flesh and blood. It's the same as you. We're exactly the same, you know. It's just God's given different callings to people and different responsibilities and opportunities and giftings. And it was the same with Jesus. Yes, he's God in the flesh. Yes, he's that man of sorrows acquainted with the grief of all the world, the sad, the serious, the heavy burden, Jesus, because of the weight of responsibility given to him. But the people that did the life journey with Jesus, they saw different aspects of this Jesus than what we would necessarily see. Because some people have permanently framed Jesus as the man of sorrows. They permanently framed him that way in that season of grief. But I want to put the news out there and the awareness out there that not only was there a death for Jesus, there was a resurrection. There was a resurrection. And who can't be happy about a resurrection? The resurrection was a celebration and a great celebration. So not only did he die, he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead is what the Bible says. That is a celebration. You know, the reality is, that the religious crowds around Jesus, they accused him and saw him as being too much of a fun guy. Too much of a fun guy was the accusation they made of Jesus. Because he went to dinner parties, he went to celebrations, he went to weddings, he socialized with all kinds of people, he didn't prejudice anybody, he was happy to be around anybody, didn't matter what their status in life was. The Bible says he hung out with the most notorious of sinners, the publicans, the prostitutes were at these parties, and by association, Jesus was given certain accusations. You know, accusation by association is very dangerous. Very dangerous. Like people say, where there's smoke, there's fire. No, it's not true. Where there's smoke, there's smoke. Doesn't mean there's fire. There's smoke. The fire may have gone. It doesn't mean there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's smoke, there's smoke. Jesus was accused by accusation. He was accused of being a glutton and being a drunkard. Now, it doesn't mean he drank. Some people would want to say that. It doesn't mean he drank at all. It just means by association, being there, that association interpreted in the minds of some people that he was a drunkard because he hang around with drunkards. People might accuse you of that. They'll hear about you being at a party and there was alcohol there or there was a certain person there, and by association then all of a sudden you're a drunkard. Yet you know you never had anything. You didn't do anything wrong. You were just there. Like Jesus was at the party, and by association there came an accusation. Be very careful about accusations that you make by association. But the fact is, Jesus loved celebrations. He loved celebrations. When he told parables to reflect the heart of the Father and the nature of the kingdom of God, oftentimes he would reference it as a great feast, as a great banquet, as a great party, as a great celebration. The story of the prodigal son, probably the most well-known of all the parables that Jesus told, at the conclusion of it, when the son comes home after wasting his inheritance, the father in the story says, let's throw a party, let's kill the fatted calf, let's have a great celebration, let there be drink, let there be food, let there be dancing. Why? Because that's a reflection of the kingdom of God. A pure life, enjoyed with a celebratory sense, having a lot of fun. You know, Jesus constantly conveyed the idea of celebration and joy and exchanging our heaviness that we carry in life for the lightness of the yoke that he has. When Jesus talked about this, he was talking to religious mindsets. This is what he said, Matthew 11:28. This is the invitation. He says, come to me, all of you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I'll give you rest. If you're overwhelmed and you're discouraged, you're depressed, come to me. Weighed down by your circumstances, situations and sin, he said, come to me and I will give you rest. Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will find rest for your lives. The burden that I ask you to accept is easy, and the load I give you to carry is light. I think we carry the heaviness of life way too much. And we need a little bit of levity and lightness that Jesus talks about here, which is his load. You are going to carry the load. It's not the load you carry that's important. What's important is how you carry it. What's important is how you carry it. Thirdly, give yourself permission to have fun, because fun is a big part of the salvation experience. So I'm sure some of us have missed the email from heaven about that, the update. Here it is, Psalm 20, verse 5. Here's the update from heaven. It says, may we shout for joy over your salvation, and in the name of God, set up banners. The whole deal with worship and celebrations in the Old Testament and the New Testament was that they were festivities. They were gatherings to hear the word of God, but they were gatherings for celebration. And here the psalmist David says, make it a shout. Shout for joy over the salvation and the deliverance of God. I think we should constantly, daily, every moment and opportunity we have a shout of praise in our mouths for the salvation that God has given us, for the faith that God has given us, for the life that God has given us, the opportunities, the business, the careers, the work, the health that God has and is giving to every one of us. Salvation is fun. It's fun, is what David is saying to us, and it's something to celebrate every day. So make your faith journey a celebration of the salvation God has given you. And then finally, give yourself permission to have fun, because fun makes hard seasons bearable. Actually, that's not finally, that's my second last finally. Give yourself permission to have fun, because fun makes hard seasons bearable. I spoke last week about laughter and how Research shows us that laughter is actually good for us. It's better than being grumpy. Better than go home and give a bit of grumpy and see how that works for you. Go home and give a bit of that today. Everyone around your world, a little bit of sadness, a little bit of being overwhelmed, a little bit of being heavy-hearted, and see the atmosphere it creates, as opposed to a cheerful heart. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. I can imagine Mary Poppins singing that. That's a Mary Poppins verse, that one right there. A cheerful heart is good medicine. Come on, open up. Open up. Open up. Here it comes. Open up. It's good medicine. You know, the problem with medicine is we don't want to take it. You don't want to take it. I don't know what it is in the mind of a child, but a child innately understands that medicine is going to be yuck. But we know as adults, it's good for you. It's good for you. And we do everything we can to disguise it and to mix it up for kids or for animals so they won't detect it. But here's the thing with God. God does not disguise his medicine. It comes fully disclosed. And Jesus just said, accept my teachings. Accept my teachings. And part of carrying the lightness of life is to accept the teachings of God and to take your medicine. Turn to your neighbor and say, take your medicine. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need more medication. You need more medication. More medication. A cheerful heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit saps a person's strength. It's amazing what you can't do when you've got a heavy heart. It's amazing what you won't do when you've got a heavy heart. It's amazing the complaint and the judgment and the accusation that comes out of a heavy heart. And so here's my thought. If life is hard, dial up the fun volume. If life is hard, dial up the fun volume in your life and intentionally joy up when it's hard. Let God be the lifter of your head. Let God be the lifter of your head. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. God's joy makes you strong in heart. So lean into joy and lighten up your soul, lighten up your spirit, and lighten up your circumstance. You know, the Bible says when Jesus went to the cross, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He was always going to endure the cross. It was his choice how he was going to endure it. And it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. And you know, there's always something set before us. And herein lies the problem. Do we have the right thing set before us? If we have joy set before us, the strength for the season and the journey and the valley and the darkness and the challenge and the circumstance, the strength will be yours. It doesn't mean you're not going through it. You're going to go through it. It's your choice how you go. It's your choice whether you're going to travel economy or you're going to travel first class. Joy is traveling first class. You're going the same way. Like, I don't know whether you've ever flown overseas, but if you've ever flown overseas in cattle class, and you know what I mean by that, because you feel like a cow stuck in those little seats right next to the toilet where 3,000 people have to go to the toilet at once for 24 hours constantly. And you're sitting there and you're looking at the people in first class or business class. And you're looking at how wide and spacious their seats are and the fact that their seat lays down. And they have silver service. And you look at their food compared to your food. We're all on the same plane, but how many of you know they're doing it a whole lot nicer than you are? They really are. I remember once when we did a missions trip and we went to Uganda. And this was probably about 6 years ago. We took a team, seven or 8 years ago, we took a team. Mel was on that trip. And we went to Uganda for a missions trip. And Cheryl and I had enough points on our Emirates card. And we flew Emirates to upgrade to business class. And we did it from Dubai back to Brisbane. It took me about 3 hours of negotiating at the Dubai airport to get this deal done. Because how many of you know it's very difficult to argue your point with someone in Dubai that's responsible for these things. And yet I was tenacious. I was like that persistent widow. I was not going away until I got my wish granted. And so they upgraded our flights. And Mel was right beside me at the time when I got the good news. And she wanted to pretend to be my daughter. I think they actually said, is that your daughter? As if I was going to upgrade her. And I turned to her and said, as if. And so Mel traveled in economy.
And Cheryl and I went up to business class, which meant straight into the business lounge. And it's like a 6-star business lounge. It's beautiful, as opposed to sitting out there in the normal zone waiting to get onto the plane. And we all got on the same plane, but we slept for about 10 hours. And beautiful food and first-class service, and got up the plane feeling fresh. And noticed that those that didn't sit where we sat, they got off the same plane. But let's just say they weren't quite as fresh or joyous about the flight. So how you fly is determined by you. Now, you don't have to pay the price. Jesus has paid the price. But where you sit is up to you. And it's up to your attitude. And it's up to your disposition. And it's up to your posture. And it's up to your choices. And it's up to your decisions. And it's up to your intention. And it's about what we set before us. Am I going to set joy before me to help me through this journey and navigate this challenge and navigate this darkness and this difficulty, this situation, this circumstance? What are you setting before you? And I want to encourage you to set some joy there. I'm going to do the journey with joy. Joy is not the result of everything going right. If that was the case, I'd never smile. I'd never be happy. Neither would you if it's about everything going sweet. Joy is about the fact that we know who has the victory. We know who wins. And we know we're part of that team. And so that's why we have the joy. And it's good medicine for your soul. Here's the last one. And it's about your work. Give yourself permission to have fun. Because fun makes work more enjoyable and more productive. There's no doubt about it. Fun makes work more enjoyable and more productive. And nobody understands that more than the millennial generation today. And on the landscape of millennial business, where millennials are in charge of business, they're in charge of companies, they do it a little bit differently to the old school people that are of my generation, where we work in a different way. And my generation can inaccurately sometimes interpret the millennial activity as being non-productive or not working hard. It's just they work a little bit smarter. And they've decided they're going to enjoy the journey. They've decided they're going to enjoy it. So in the workplace, they have pool tables, ping pong tables, machines to just have some breaks on and have fun while they work, because they've understood the fact that when people have fun when they work, they're more productive, they're more energized, they're more focused, they're more present, as opposed to the old school style of work. And some of it comes down also to a personality thing, and I'm one of those personalities. Personalities that don't have fun because sometimes they just see fun as frivolous or a waste of time. I haven't got time for fun because I'm working. You know what I mean? Am I alone? It's serious because I've got to go to work, you know. So I've got to write my sermon now, so it's serious. So and I know I've got to be focused when I write my sermon, and I probably wasn't focused enough when I wrote this one. I know I should be focused when I write my sermon and that. But here's the thought. I don't have enough time left in my life to not make it fun. You know, you reach a point in life where you think, goodness me, how did I get to that age so quickly? Like the first 17 years seemed like forever. You know, that car license, it seemed like I'd never get it. Never get it. And then bang, 30 more years have gone. 40 more years have gone. Life is too short not to enjoy it. It's a wisp. It's a vapor. Is what the Bible says. It's a vapor. It's just here in a moment and then it's gone. And fun is not frivolous. Fun is not unimportant. It is not childish. It is imperative. It is essential. It is something that will bring joy into your heart and your life and your world and the people around you. So here's my command to myself. I figure if I command me, you're going to enjoy it a lot more. See, if I command you, you don't tell me what to do. Nobody likes being told what to do. I hate being told what. Nobody likes being told what to do. But every now and then you've got to tell yourself what to do. So I'm going to tell myself what to do. And as I tell myself what to do, if you like that, you can tell yourself what to do also. So here's my command to myself. Don't be so militant. I knew that would get a response. Don't be so militant, because I can tend to be militant. I can... Like in my fathering years, if, you know, mistakes I made are many, but one of them is just too militant sometimes. Too militant sometimes. Too authoritarian sometimes. Too hard sometimes, trying to be the grown up. And I think in my aging years, to age well, the thought is,
Pauline, I heard that laugh, or someone that laughed over there. Someone who's a little bit older than me laughed, thinking, you young pup. Sorry, Pauline, I'm not going to look at you. I'm not looking at you anymore. I hear you, but I don't see you. I love you, Pauline. Don't be so militant. Don't be so serious. Don't be so serious. You want your kids to actually love hanging around you. You want your grandkids to love hanging around you. So tell them a joke, smile, put them on your knee, give them a lolly. Don't worry about the sugar, just give it to them. They're going to go home with their mother and father anyway, so just give it to them. And enjoy the life you have, because the life you have will be gone before you know it. And if you've not enjoyed it, it's your fault. Because not only is your face your responsibility, so is your life. It's yours. So own it. Create atmospheres, create environments of joy and fun. Get with people that make you smile and laugh and ease the burden of work. The fact is, in regards to work, if people have fun at work, they work harder, they work better, they work more productive. It's just a fact. They will stay longer. They'll want to stay. They won't clock in and clock off if they love the workspace. And if they love the work environment and the people they work with, they'll be more energized and they will get along with people better. Nothing worse for people in the workplace that don't get along. It's like, seriously, I don't need that. Come on, bang heads together. Let's get sorted out. Let's have some fun. Let's get more productive. Like I say to our leaders, my core leaders that are around me, when we've had a hard season, you tend to lose the fun. You just, because of the hardness, you lose the fun because you get cranky pasta. And it's no fun when you get cranky pasta. Nobody likes that. Least alone the pasta. Nobody enjoys that. So either one of them says to me or I say to them, we need to up the fun. Let's have some fun. Now, fun for us is a barbecue. It's like, whoopee. You know, like, but just getting out and watching a movie, like Christmas with the Cranks, something like that, free Frosty. You know, just put a smile on your face. Just hanging together. Tell them some stories together. Tell them the jokes we told 100 times that weren't funny the first time, but we're still laughing. Just enjoying each other's company. It's so important. You know, levity, which is what joy means, levity, it simply means lightness. Make it light. I can make it heavy. I can walk into any room and make it heavy instantly. Instantly. I can do that. I can do it with my eyes. I can burn you with my eyes. People that know me well know when I'm ticked. I don't know what it is, but it's a dead giveaway, apparently. So I can make it heavy, good at that, and so can you. Or I can make it light. 2020, I want to make it light and easy. Great power in keeping it light. Keeping it light helps you carry the heavy load. Keeping it light helps you enjoy the journey while you're doing the hard work God has given us to do. If it's not light, it's tight. It's true. You're in a tight spot. You know that line? That's a great movie. That's from the movie Brother, Where Art Thou? I've got to watch that today. It's a great movie. There's one funny line in it. It's worth the laugh. Sometimes we get it so wrong. Let me close. Some of you are smiling now. Sometimes we get it so wrong. Get it so wrong in our parenting. Get it so wrong in our adulting. You know, adulting is hard work. Being a big person is hard work. Sometimes I don't like being the big person. Sometimes I want to be the child who can suck lollipops and just, you know, rock back and forth in the corner and not have any responsibility. Don't always like being the adult. Don't always like being the pastor, to be honest with you. Don't always like being that person. But someone's got to be it. And I figure if I'm going to be it, I might as well smile. I smiled once. It's good. We get it so wrong at work sometimes. We get it so wrong in family and relationships. We get it so wrong in leadership positions. Because we think intensity, and what we get is tension. And wherever there's tension, there's not enough fun. There's not enough oil. The oil makes it right and makes it light. So some are full of tension. And today you're surrounded by tension. Here's my encouragement. Lighten your load. Lighten up on yourself. Don't take yourself so seriously. And lighten up on everybody else. Because they all deserve a break. Turn to your neighbor and say, you deserve a break. You deserve a break. Can I have our team come to stage? Come on, guys. Give our team a hand as they come. They're a good bunch of people. Yeah. Doing a great job. You know, the most productive life you have, would you stand with me? The most productive life that you have is a life that has fun while doing the hard work that God has given you to do. Where you eat, you drink, you enjoy people's company, and you make it a bit lighter. Fun doesn't mean we don't do the hard work, it just means we carry the load better. The grind, yep, can't avoid it. It's going to be there. Always be there. Joy simply empowers us to be better, work better, live better. Choose better. That's what joy empowers us to do. And the healthiest life embraces joy as their strength. Joy as their strength. In the context of church and what we're doing here today and the way we do this journey, God's given us a hard work to do. It is a serious work. It's a work of eternal value. It has significant consequences and implications attached to the work that we do in God's kingdom, because we're called to a very high purpose and a very high mission. And there is a plan that God has to bring all people into a knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's a hard work. It's a hard work being the church. It's a hard work representing Jesus sometimes and being a picture of His grace and a picture of His kingdom and a picture of His forgiveness. A representative of heaven. It's not always easy doing that. But in all this work and hardness of life that we have, let's make it a celebration. As I said last week, nobody's attracted to a funeral. They're attracted to a celebration. A celebration. So let's get that. There is a battle, there is a war for our souls and for the souls of our friends and family and the people around us. So in the context of all this battle, let's have some fun to help us in the battle. Make joy part of the priority in how you journey. In our connect groups, every connect group here in our church, make it fun. Have some fun. Have some fun with what you do and the people that you do that journey with. If you serve in a team, make it fun. Don't just do the job. You're doing it with other human beings. Have some fun. Don't do it because you have to do it, because you don't have to do it. That's the deal. You don't have to do it. So don't do it if you can't do it with a fun heart, a fun spirit, and the right heart and the right spirit. Have fun in leadership. Have fun as pastors. Have fun in church. It's okay. So today I'm going to pray to bring it to a close. And then we're going to sing our first song, which is a fun song rather than a slow song. Oh, that tricked them, didn't it? Did you hear that? That totally threw them then. Totally threw them, because they're ready to play that slow music and just the atmosphere's beautiful. The pastor just tricked it up and said, let's get the party started. So let me pray for you, because I know life's serious and I know you've got it going on. And I'm well aware of that. Fun will help you, believe me. Why don't you lift your hand? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so thankful for the many aspects of your word and the many aspects of faith in our lives and the life of Jesus when he was here on earth. And he was accused of being the too much fun guy. But I think there's lessons in there for all of us about how to do the journey and how to do it well, how to navigate it. We're not negating the seriousness of life by any means. We're not devaluing the seriousness of people's circumstances and the gravity of situations today. But a little bit of joy, as Mary Poppins would say, a little bit of sugar, it just helps the medicine go down. And so a little bit of joy helps every one of us. So today, my choice is I'm going to joy up. I'm going to joy up today.
And I want all my friends to join the party and to make a 2020 a year of joy, is what I pray. Help us in the seriousness of our situations. Release the joy that's going to release the strength of God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Enjoy this song.